Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. No, I'm not Gavin Jackson. No, no, no.
Oh my God.
I'm merely A.T. Shire, the producer who runs the steam-powered machine and pulley system that we call Gavin Jackson. I'm here to welcome you to a very special episode of the South Carolina Lead that's less of an episode of the lead and more a teaser of a new show that I personally have been working on. The machine called Gavin has given me the opportunity to present a new show that I've been working on pretty hard here. It's a show called Who, What, When, and it is a history game show that South Carolina Public Radio it will be bringing you in the future, okay?
Yes.
Now, if you are traveling on the 4th of July weekend, you got an hour to kill with the family in the car, please put this on. It's a fabulous program. It's fun for all ages. I mean, here's just a taste. You're going to have Walter Edgar. The Walter Edgar will be in this. We're going to have callers. We're going to have fun games. There are robots even. It's going to be great. Get to know these new hosts, Dan and Bran. You're going to love them. I may or may not be the robot. Who knows? Nobody knows. So without any further ado, I bring you Who, What, When.
From South Carolina Public Radio, this is Who, What, When, an hour of history games and trivia. I'm Brandon Gray.
And I'm Daniel Thompson. Thanks for joining us on this special episode devoted to the 4th of July.
Ah, the 4th of July. The hot dogs, the hamburgers, the fireworks.
Yes.
And if I remember correctly, a little documentary I love from the 1990s about a full-scale alien invasion.
I'm going to stop you right there. I'm pretty sure you're talking about the Will Smith film Independence Day.
The Will Smith documentary
where
Independence
he gets
Day.
The aliens. He's welcome to Earth. The whole thing. That is not really happen. No, not at all. It was a good time.
You sure about that now?
I'm positive about it. It's Hollywood. You know, I don't want you to get carried away with the aliens, but it didn't happen. We are going to have some fun 4th of July trivia. We're going to dive into the holiday, talk about history, America's past.
And what's the point of doing trivia if we don't have any contestants, Dano? And right here on Who, What, When, we want you to give us a call if you'd like to join us at 803-470-6347.
And, Bran, we've got our first two contestants on the line
already.
Right now.
Great.
Thanks for calling Who, What, When. Who's this?
Beth Ann from Morristown, Tennessee.
Fantastic. Well, welcome to Who, What, When. You'll be playing against our other caller. Who's this?
Hi, my name's Holly. I'm from Mid-Michigan.
Wow.
Wow. Did you say Mid-Michigan?
We're kind of halfway between Detroit and Lansing, and we like to claim the middle of it.
Mid-Michigan.
But
yeah, it's the Columbia's mid-South Carolina.
Fantastic. Well, welcome to both of you to our July 4th show. You're going to be playing a game called Walter Edgar Sells You.
That's right. For our first game today, we have what is probably the best game we'll ever have on
the
show.
That's true.
So it's all downhill from here.
That's true.
We're going to be showing you or telling you about some very, very American products.
Yes.
And as part of it, we have the person who literally wrote the book on South Carolina, historian and host of South Carolina Public Radio's Walter Edgar's Journal, the Walter Edgar.
Amazing.
Hold for applause.
Amazing.
That's exactly right.
Here's how the show's going to work. We have gathered some of the most American products that we could possibly think of. And Walter Edgar is going to read you the tagline for these products and then give you three options for what he could possibly be describing. Your job, if you're willing to accept this job, is to decide which one of these is the actual product.
You're each going to get a turn, and if you guess incorrectly, Bran, remember this, the other player has a chance to steal.
Steal!
The first person to 5 points wins. Holly, you're going to go first. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here is Walter.
French fries with all the fun and half the fat. Why ruin your fast food experience with all that grease when you can enjoy these low-calorie, high-in-price kind of fried potatoes with your next combo meal? A, McDonald's Lean Mean Mighty Fries, B, Burger King's Satis Fries, or C, Wendy's Light and Lovely Fries.
Fantastic.
Oh, man. All sound like great
like,
products.
I like starting off with French fries because there's nothing more American than a good old French fry.
And if McDonald's is right, it's lean and mean. It's
lean
a
and mean.
Mean Mighty Fries.
That's right.
Holly, do you have an idea of which of those might be the correct answer?
As a true American, I like to call them freedom fries.
Thank you,
of course.
I'll just say that now. But I believe it is Burger King's Satis Fries. Final answer.
Final answer, and it is the correct answer.
Wow.
Burger King's Satisfries debuted in 2013, and I don't believe they even lasted an entire year. You know why?
Why is
that? Because the most American thing about French fries is that they're French fries.
That's exactly
they're
right.
They're fried in grease, and they're meant to taste like America, not like a diet.
That's
you know
exactly,
what I mean?
You know, you said it.
Yeah.
You said it.
I don't want my fries to taste like a diet.
Get
Are you kidding
here.
Me?
Get out of here.
There's nothing fourth about that at all. All right. Beth Ann, you ready?
Sure.
All right. Wally Edge, hit me.
Chapped lips are a thing of the past thanks to the invention of lip balm. But here at Frito-Lay, we're taking lip moisture and comfort to another level. You won't go back to chapstick when you can smell like you've just popped a bag of A, Cheetos lip balm, B, Cool Ranch Doritos lip balm, or C, Sun Chips lip balm.
I need to get something off my chest. Yeah. And I don't know if this is, people are going to say I'm not an American or what, but I don't like Cool Ranch Doritos.
Yeah, you're not American.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Lee Greenwood and I both proudly stand up for all three of these lip balms. There's nothing more American than these three lip balms. Beth Ann, which of these is a real thing?
As a mom of kids, I'm going to just go with what my children ask for to eat more than anything, and that is Cheetos.
Mm. Cheetos lip balm. Oof, that's correct.
Wow.
That is correct.
Wow. And we actually, I believe we have some in the mail heading towards
right.
you
Don't
right
worry.
Now.
That's right. It has been sitting since 2005 when it was discontinued.
Oh.
I'm sure it is still good.
I can't believe that didn't take
off. I mean, the thing about it is if you give your kids Cheetos lip balm, it will match their fingers.
Yeah.
And so it's a full outfit.
Yeah, it's a vibe.
But you know what? You know, on the 4th of July, are you really living if you've not had a few Cheetos?
100% correct.
I mean, Come on. All right, it's 1-1. Got a couple of ringers here. Ready for another question, Holly.
So ready.
Walter, take it away.
Ladies, there are many scents that can attract a man, but is there any better than gasoline and burnt rubber? Feel the horsepower in every curve of the road as you stand out from the pack with A, Jeep Wrangler perfume, B, Harley Davidson perfume, or C, John Deere perfume.
Man, all three sound like pure America. Absolutely. It's a shame only one of these is real.
Vroom, 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 vroom.
Holly, which one do you think is real?
I think my husband would probably want me to wear Jeep Wrangler perfume because he's one of those Jeep guys.
Yeah?
But, John Deere, ooh, I'm from farm country. I'm going with Wrangler.
Going with Jeep Wrangler.
Wow.
And it makes sense.
It
but
does.
That is actually incorrect, Holly. It's incorrect. Beth Ann, you have a chance to steal here.
Steal on the table, Beth Ann.
Is it B, Harley Davidson perfume, or C, John Deere perfume?
I'm going to actually go with Harley Davidson because that is like such a brand that there would be perfume for.
You are correct,
Beth Ann.
Wow. The Harley Davidson perfume debuted in 1994. They brought it back a decade later. It didn't catch on either time, if you can believe it.
I love that they brought it back, though. They said the world wasn't ready. Maybe it is now.
But, you know, you're on your hog. You got the big American flag in the background.
I say we bring it back for 2024.
You know, you bring it back again.
Let's make it happen.
Every 20
right.
years or so.
Every
give
20
it a go.
Years.
For sure. All right. It's 2-1. Beth Ann has the lead and the board. Walter, take it away.
French fries and ketchup just go together, but for your kids, maybe that's just too boring. Spice up mealtime and let your kids get creative with A, Hunt's color-changing ketchup, B, A1 Presents brown ketchup, C, Heinz Easy Squirt multicolored ketchup.
I don't like that he said squirt.
Squirt.
But I will say, I don't have any problem with standard ketchup. I don't know. Why are we trying to revolutionize the ketchup game?
You're a simple boy.
I'm a simple boy.
I will say this. I don't think there's much more American than steak and A1 sauce.
Yeah.
I think that's very American. But when Walter Edgar said A1 presents brown ketchup, I did die a little inside. So I'm hoping it's not that one. Beth Ann, which of these do you think it is?
I actually remember when this was a thing.
Yeah.
I'm hoping my memory is serving me correctly and that it's C, the Heinz multicolored ketchup.
It is Heinz Easy Squirt multicolored ketchup.
Wow.
Actually lasted for 6 years.
Yeah. Holly, you're in a bit of a jam here.
Yeah.
You are down 3-1 here on Walter Edgar tries to sell you. I don't want to say this is a must get, but
feels
this is
like a must get.
Feels like a must get.
All right, Walter, take it away.
All the sugar of a soda, but none of the caffeine, color, or personality. This new product is going to change the game. It looks healthier, but it isn't. But you'll feel cooler when you grab an ice cold A, new Coke, B, Super Sprite, or C, Crystal Pepsi.
I will say there is nothing more American than a company putting out something that sounds healthy, but
it's actually worse for you.
That's America.
That's the red, white, and blue.
That's exactly right.
That's right. Holly, what do you think it is?
I'm here to tell you my opponent is going down.
Wow.
I love it.
My comeback, because I can still close my eyes and taste Crystal Pepsi.
Yeah.
So good. Crystal
yeah.
Pepsi, final answer.
So good, Holly.
Crystal Pepsi. Super Sprite is something you tried to invent, Brian.
I did.
You poured a Surge Cola yeah. into a Sprite
yeah.
and like 16 Mentos.
I shook it up and I yelled,
you're like, Super Sprite.
Super Sprite.
Yeah, it didn't work out. Crystal Pepsi's correct. In 1992, the soda brand launched a clear soda that had a ton of sugar in it and nobody liked it. Beth Ann, up 3-2,
right.
Ann gets the next question. Here it comes.
When it's the work day, the morning, or just any time that just isn't the right time for a cold one, reach for some Rocky Mountain hydration that will help you make it through until happy hour with A, Budweiser Sparkling Water, B, Miller Hydration Plus, C, Coors Spring Water.
Man. This is fun.
I got to be honest with you. I don't know the point of this particular one.
I can tell you the point of all three of those companies. It's on the 4th of July.
100%.
You better have a cold one in your hand.
A cold one in your hand.
I mean, come on.
But why are we getting in the water business?
One of them actually did. Beth Ann, which is it? A, Budweiser Sparkling Water. B, Miller Hydration Plus. C, Coors Spring Water.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to go with A, Budweiser Water.
Budweiser Sparkling Water, incorrect.
Whoa.
We remain at 3-2. Holly with another chance to tie it.
I got to be honest with you, Holly. If you don't get this one, we're just going to hang up on you. This
wow.
is now your third time to tie it up, Holly. No pressure.
Is it Miller Hydration right. Plus or is it Coors Spring Water?
I feel the pressure. I'm going with Coors.
Coors Spring Water is correct.
Oh, my goodness, Holly.
In 1992, Coors unsuccessfully got into the water game. And I got to be honest, if you had guessed Miller Hydration Plus, we may have actually hung up on you. But also, Miller Hydration Plus is just a Trojan horse for Super Sprite, from what I understand.
100%.
Correct? You're just trying to get Super Sprite in the door.
It's a necessary evil, absolutely.
That's exactly right. Holly, you're correct. Coors Spring Water, an ice cold one to celebrate on the 4th of July. And now it's 3-3.
Yeah.
There are two questions left. Holly, you get the first one. Here we go.
All pens aren't created equal, and we think it's time that ladies had a say in their writing utensils. Don't settle for a man's pen when you can be writing in style with A, Miss Bic for Her, B, the Lady Pilot Pen, R.C., the Pink Zebra Writer.
So we've got those three options for a lady's pen.
A lady's pen.
I don't know.
Listen, sometimes pen, they're too masculine.
Holly, which of those is the correct answer?
Well, I happen to be a pen aficionado.
Oh, this works out well.
I believe it is Miss Bic. For her, final answer.
Wow. You believe correctly.
Wow.
Miss Bic for her.
We love a comeback story here in America, and I think we got one.
That's right. That's a really good tie in there. Very nicely done. In 2011, a mere baker's dozen years ago, the company Bic decided, what if we released a pen just for women?
What made it for women?
I don't have no idea.
Okay.
I have no idea what made it for women. I'm pretty sure pens are an all-play situation.
Yeah, no, that was a trick question. You handled it great.
That's right. Thank you. Beth Ann, you're down by one. You have the last question. Walter, take it away.
Your reality will never be the same once you step into this state of the ART virtual gaming system, featuring amazing graphics with colors such as black, white, and red. You're going to get lost for hours in the worlds of A, Nintendo Virtual Boy, B, Sega Seamless, or C, Microsoft V-Real.
Oh, boy. Beth Ann. Now, some of these companies aren't from America, but video games in America, It's like hot apple pie.
That's exactly right.
I mean, come on. It's six of one, half dozen of the
other. I bet there's a lot of people out there today eating a hot dog, drinking a cold one, playing some video
Switch.
Games.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Dreaming of the days of the Crystal Pepsi.
Okay. Beth Ann, which of these is it? Is it A, Nintendo Virtual Boy, B, Sega Seamless, or C, Microsoft V-Real?
Okay, I'm going to choose B, Sega Seamless.
B, Sega Seamless.
This is for the tie.
For the tie. That is incorrect.
Oh, wow.
We're looking for A, Nintendo Virtual Boy in 1995. The system was clunky. You had to carry around a lot of equipment. It hurt your eyes. It had three colors. It was a mess. And unfortunately, Beth Ann, that means you do not move on.
The comeback is complete.
Here on Who, What, When. And so Holly from Mid-Michigan is going to be moving on to the next
Amazing.
Round. Congratulations,
Amazing.
Holly.
Thank you.
You get to stick around for the next segment. Beth, thanks so much for playing. You're listening to a special 4th of July edition of Who, What, When, a history game show from South Carolina Public Radio. If you want to join in on the games, give us a call at 803-470-6347.
The good news is we're going to be right back with more puzzles and trivia right after this break.
Welcome back to a special 4th of July edition of Who, What, When, a history game show from South Carolina Public Radio. I'm Daniel Thompson.
And I'm Brandon Gray. We would love for you to join us to play any of our games, so just give us a call, 803-470-6347.
Excited about our games this week, Brandon, but you know what I realized?
What's that?
Some people out there may not know us.
Oh.
You're at a 4th of July party. You want to know the guests at the party. So I thought we'd do a little lightning round.
I like that. And we've actually been in the lab all week working on a very special lightning bot.
Lightning bot, can you hear us?
Lightning bot, can hear.
Perfect. This is going to go so well. And what Lightning Bot has done is he has generated,
get Lightning Bot with complete sentences. It's just doing the best they can.
They have auto-generated this or that question.
I love that.
That's the way I understand it, correct?
Is that correct, Lightning Bot?
Affirmative.
Are they 4th of July themed?
Some are.
Fair enough. Close enough, I think.
I mean, this Lightning Bot is cutting-edge technology.
Yeah. Okay. You can only do so much.
I think what you and I are going to do is Lightning Bot's going to give us the this or that, and we're going to say, you want to do 1, 2, 3 and say it together? Or do you want to just go
Because it's radio, let's take turns.
Because it's radio. Okay, fair enough. For the radio crowd out
there. For the radio crowd this
Lightning
listening.
Bot, are you ready with our first this or that?
Number one.
I guess that's an affirmative.
Hot dog or hamburger?
Hamburger.
Yeah, a hamburger for me, too.
I think there's just more you can do with it.
I think that there's a ceiling for a hot dog.
I think
dog.
That's fair.
6 of 10 ceiling for a hot dog. A hamburger can be like a 9 of 10
You can
hamburger.
Really do some special stuff with
you
a hamburger.
You can get it right.
I'm never going to turn down a hot dog, though. I want the
hot dog has a higher floor.
Of course.
It's a consistent thing. There's not very few bad hot dogs. There's some bad
right.
hamburgers
that's
out
right.
there.
That's right. There's some bad ones.
Yeah, I like that. We're on the same page.
I love that. Lightning Bot, hit us with number two.
Charcoal or gas grill? How you cooking those dogs?
Thanks, Lightning Bot. I will walk away from a gas grill. Like, we'll walk away. If you're not burning something, some sort of wood pellet, charcoal, something, if there's not actual fire, ash, burn, I'm out.
I'm never confident around a grill. Yep. I do feel like, for dummies like me, gas makes it simple.
Yes.
You turn on, turn up.
Yeah.
Put it
turn
at 450.
Down for what?
Let it, yes.
And I feel like that makes it easy for me. But, yeah, of course, the taste of a charcoal or a wood or whatever is superior.
Above and
no
beyond.
One would argue that.
No question. I feel like we're learning so much about each other.
I love that.
Lightning Bot, you got another one?
Coke or Pepsi?
Okay, well,
Lightning Bot, you know better than this.
This is unbelievable that you would ask this. Pepsi is born in the Carolinas,
yeah,
especially our hometown of Greenville.
That's right,
shout
out.
Is where Pepsi is, like, a lot of it's made. Coke. All day long. Diet Coke.
Pepsi could die preferably a slow, slow death.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
it could
we
be,
wouldn't care.
It could be half the price, and I would still
it's
choose.
It's America's beverage.
Yes. Come on. Lightning Bot?
Bottle Rocket or Roman Candle?
So Roman Candle, you stick in the ground, and it has multiple explosions. Yeah. A Bottle Rocket, you could hold in your hand and shoot off. That's why they made them illegal in South Carolina.
Still to this day.
Yes. They are still illegal to this. I remember when they banned them. I remember when it happened.
Man.
And for that reason, being a true South Carolinian, give me the Bottle Rocket.
Give me the Bottle Rocket.
Give me the Bottle Rocket all day.
I like that. Listen, the 4th of July is all about celebrating us fighting against the forces, fighting against what's normal, fighting against the law. Isn't that the 4th of July?
I don't think
that's
the 4th
how
of
I
July
understand
is fighting
it.
Against the law. I don't think, I mean, there's a little bit of that, but
a
I think you've
bit.
Maybe taken it too far.
Bottle Rocket.
Bottle Rocket for me as well. Lightning Bot.
Favorite movie, Independence Day or The Patriot?
I have, listen, I think, made it pretty clear where I stand on this. I do struggle because one's a documentary, one's a movie.
Yeah. It's
but
not a documentary.
Give me Independence Day.
Independence Day is the better movie. I it's such a moment in my childhood watching Independence Day in the theater, eighth grade kid, and it was, at the time, I was like, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
Lightning
the Patriot's
Bot.
Good, but it's like all wrong historically.
Lightning Bot, you got a dog in this fight?
Welcome to Earth.
There you go. That's
Say
all
no
we
more.
Needed. That's all we needed.
Say no more.
It's great.
Give me another question, Lightning Bot.
One if by land or two if by sea?
A great question.
Yeah. I'm going to go two if by sea because, you know, it's a water attack.
I'm going to go one by land.
You don't like the water.
I don't like the water. Yeah. I could drown. My feet would get tired, and I don't like that. But I like my feet getting tired more than drowning. So give me one if by land.
Great.
Yes.
Lightning Bot?
Soup, salad, or breadstick?
Ooh. I mean, I think you have to go breadstick. But
yeah.
I don't want – soup is last, a distant last for me. It's just not cold enough to really enjoy soup around here. I love a good salad. I love a breadstick.
Here's the thing about a breadstick is there are restaurants that are open because of the breadstick.
That's right.
Not because their food's good, but because you get free breadsticks. Looking at you, OG. And so I think that that makes the breadstick superior.
Salad also at OG. That's the only two reasons to go.
That's fair.
That's true. That's going to get cut out, I'm sure. Lightning Bot.
Fast or Furious?
Ooh, I'm going to go Furious here. I think Furious is underrated, especially in those movies where there's a lot of Fast and not really a lot of Furious. So give me Furious.
I got to go Fast on this one. I understand what you're saying, but there's no greater thrill than getting in that car and going fast.
If you ain't fast, you're last.
That's exactly right. I love going fast.
Fair.
But within the confines of the law.
Yeah, yeah, you're
the 4th
big
of
on
July.
The law, as you've established.
Except for the 4th of July.
Correct. Lightning Bot.
Burr or Hamilton?
Listen, Hamilton, this is so easily Hamilton. I and it's not because there's a musical after him. Aaron Burr is the picture of everything that's wrong with America. Like, just basically waiting to see what the popular thing is to do and doing that even if it means, like, losing all of your values in the process. Hamilton wasn't a great guy. Aaron Burr is the person you don't want to hang out with because as soon as you walk out of the room, you don't know what they're saying about you. That's who Burr was. So
give
I'm out on Burr.
Give me Burr on this one. I like the cold. I like going
Burr.
And for that reason, I'm going with Burr.
That seems to be enough about us, Bran. Should we go back to the games? Should we get to the games?
I love the games. We still have Holly on the line. She won Walter Edgar Selzia in the last segment, and she is here to play the next game here on Who, What, When.
Holly, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm feeling like a winner.
I love it. I love it. Thanks for being here. You're going to play now a game to see if you get the grand prize, which I believe, do we have a few of those Who, What, When fanny packs?
We got, yes, we have at least one.
At least one.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is big money we're talking here. You're going to play a little game called History or His Story. Now, our famous presidents, they're notorious for not lying. Honest Abe, George Washington and the cherry tree. I'm not those guys, Brad.
No, you are not.
This is a story where you're tuning in to your local NPR station for me to maybe lie to you.
I call you Deceiver Dan all the
time. This is fake news, is what it is. I got three stories about American history,
yeah.
Specifically fireworks, 4th of July. I don't know if you know that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad you're with me. You know, you thought a documentary about aliens, it was a movie about aliens, was a documentary. I just have to sometimes.
This feels personal now.
So basically, I'm going to tell you three stories. Two of them are real. One of them is a farce, a yarn, a fairy tale, a little white lie, a big fat lie, whatever you want to call it. And it's Holly's job to decide which of these is a lie. But, Brain, you're going to try to help out?
I'm going
to
help you, Holly. Don't you worry. And I, Dan and I have been playing this game personally together for many years now. And I got to tell
you. We drive around in the car, and I just do two truths and a lie with him.
Listeners at home, I need you to know that I'm really bad at this game. Holly, I'm great at this game. I'm going to be able to help you. And anytime you need some help, I'll be right here. I'm your lifeline.
So crack open a Crystal Pepsi, and let's get going. With our three stories, I'm going to tell them in chronological order. Are you ready?
Yes.
Great. Story number one.
Ready.
So the first 4th of July celebrations in 1777 were almost exclusively in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
In 1782, the year after the British surrender at Yorktown, was where we really showed off our full America.
Uh-huh.
Fashioned after the model of 1777, most of the major port cities in the early United States hosted readings of the Declaration of Independence, followed by music, ringing bells, merriment, and some sort of gun salute in the harbor. In the summer of 1782, the town of Alexandria, Virginia, almost blew itself up. In a townwide effort, the city planned to conclude the celebratory evening of the 4th with a simultaneous firework display from each house or storefront in the harbor. This was no small feat. Alexandria was one of the 10 biggest cities in early America, so this required quite the coordination. While the fireworks shows were popular in the 1700s, a coordination of houses, storefronts, and public citizens of this magnitude proved to be more than the city of Alexandria could take on. The city spent over 500 pounds on gunpowder. This is pre-dollar. And that gunpowder was laced with fireworks that were delivered and set in the town square a half mile from the harbor.
Oh, no.
The problem was that the other tradition of July 4th was lighting the lamps in the harbor on the week of the 4th. When a strong wind came through the harbor on the evening of the 3rd, it knocked several of the lamps to the ground, inadvertently lighting the entire pallet of fireworks. The explosion was massive. 4 places of business, 3 houses caught on fire. Orange haze remained in the harbor throughout the morning of the 4th. Fortunately, no one was hurt in the explosion. Alexander Hamilton, upon hearing about the explosion, remarked that the plan for the townwide firework display was a great idea if the intention was to destroy the town. That is the end of story number one. Bran, what do you think?
Well, I can believe this. I've been here in the South for a while now.
People don't know what they're doing with fireworks.
This is every 4th of July where I'm from. You get a big old box of fireworks, and someone goes, "What if we do them all at once?" And you just kind of go for it.
I grew up in the town of Hopkins, South Carolina. Shout out.
Shout out.
I had a friend actually get his eye shot with a bottle rocket.
Yeah, you
did. That is as American as it gets.
100%.
That's my Southern card right there.
This sounds like every 4th of July I've ever been to.
That's right.
Holly,
less Miller Hydration Plus and Super Sprite, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
Holly, after hearing this story, do you have any questions that you need answered, or should we move
How
on
you
to
feeling?
Number two?
You know, I don't want to brag, but I have seen Hamilton on Broadway once. As soon as he said Alexander Hamilton, I was like, I'm all over this one. I don't think I have any questions. I think I'm good.
Yeah.
She feels good about it.
I feel great, especially knowing that she used that question time as time for her to brag about seeing Hamilton.
Yeah. We ready for story two?
Please.
All right. Story number two starts now. The first 4th of July celebration west of the Mississippi River, Brand, did not occur until over 50 years after the Declaration of Independence was written.
Huh.
We had to get Lewis and Clark and Sacagawea to find our way to the fireworks.
Right.
That celebration was on the Puget Sound. You know where that is. I'm not going to quiz you.
La, la, la.
It's in northwestern Washington, and it happened on July 5th, 1841. Why did it happen on the 5th? The 4th was on a Sunday. There were a lot of Methodists out there, and they refused to party on Sunday.
You got a Sabbath, baby.
That's right. It was over 100 degrees, one of the hottest days on record. Roughly 500 people, mainly from the Wilkes Expedition group, along with some Navy sailors and Native Americans, partook in celebrating our independence. Wilkes told his men, who were on aboard their boats, that they were given an entire day off to have a full day's frolic and pleasure. And boy, did they. 2 ships from the Wilkes Expedition anchored in the southern part of the Sound. They left the boats in their starch white uniforms to live it up. They barbecued an entire ox. They had a few drinks and decided to roll the giant howitzers off of the ships onto the land. These are giant cannons with the big wheels on the side. Yeah. And they decided, we're going to let some lay people shoot off some live ammunition.
Uh-huh.
As everyone was taking turns firing the howitzers, one drunken sailor actually blew off his hand.
America.
And they kept the party going. Two other Navy sailors wandered off into the woods and got lost. A manhunt resulted in them not being found until 3 days later. The Native Americans taught the white folks how to gamble. There were several complaints by the men that all their money was being taken. Fair if you ask me. The evening ended with a drunken rendition of Yankee Doodle Dandy and three cheers to the Brits.
Oh.
Got them. While waving the American flag.
I've seen Hamilton.
That is the end of story number two.
Again, I've been to this party. This sounds very believable to me. I don't know about you, Holly.
You know, it actually does. It sounds kind of like how we roll here in Michigan with, like, fireworks parties on the lake. My husband was set on fire one time.
That is American right there.
So
that's American.
Yeah, that's right? How they do it in mid-Michigan.
My third story was going to be about Will Smith and aliens, but then you would then know that it
that
was
is true.
True, right?
Right.
Yeah, of course.
100%.
Story number three starts right now. For the better part of a century, no one hated the 4th of July and its celebrations more than Vicksburg, Mississippi.
I've said it before.
Now, if that sounds strange that a town in Mississippi would hate the 4th of July, wait for it. During the Civil War, Lincoln's strategy for defeating the South included capturing all of the ports on the Mississippi River. The last standing port on the river was in Vicksburg. The Siege of Vicksburg by General U.S. Grant, it took 47 days. And for 47 days, the city was blockaded, no one coming in, no one going out. People were living in caves that they had dug for safety. They were surviving off the land. The Confederacy finally surrenders Vicksburg after over a month and a half of fighting, and they surrender it to Grant on what day? You guessed it, July 4th. 1863.
Mm-hmm.
So this left a bit of a bitter taste in the mouth of Vicksburg's citizens. How bitter? Well, while the majority of the South assimilated back into the United States over the course of the next 20 years or so following the Civil War, the town of Vicksburg left their grudge go a little bit longer than that. For over 80 years, Vicksburg refused to host any celebration of the 4th of July. No parades, no barbecues, no fireworks, no flags, no aliens, no nothing. After the U.S. triumphant return from World War II, the city of Vicksburg, for the first time in over 80 years, had somewhat of a 4th of July celebration. General Dwight Eisenhower visited the city. He gave a speech. The town was happy to celebrate the future president, but most did so in their Confederate garb, even calling it a Carnival of the Confederacy. Since 1945, however, the 4th has become a bigger and bigger celebration in Vicksburg, where the town now brags about their celebration each year on Independence Day. That's the end of story number three. How's it sitting with you, Brad?
I don't know. I think the draw of hot dogging with your fellow man is a bit too strong to not give into. Holly, how's this story sitting with you?
You know, again, I don't want to brag, but I was homeschooled for a large portion of my elementary education, and history was not really my jam, but the Vicksburg story sounds familiar, like the siege and all of that. That rings some bells.
Boy. Okay, so, Holly, we got three stories. The first story is the town of Alexandria, 1782, almost blowing itself up. Story number two is July 5th, 1841, Puget Sound, hands being blown off, what have you. Story number three, city of Vicksburg from 1863 to 1945, refusing to celebrate the 4th of July. Those are the three stories. Now, is there anything you want to talk with Bran about before we circle the wagons and ask for an answer?
Yeah. So you weren't homeschooled, though, right?
I was not, no.
So, okay. So I probably have an edge here.
Nice.
What are you feeling?
I still feel like story three just can't be true. I've never turned down a dog in my life. and part of that is I don't think it's possible. So that's
he's the only person I know that says he likes to hot dog with friends.
Yeah.
That's the only person I know that says that.
Yeah.
The stakes are really high. Also don't forget that I am somewhat of an Alexander Hamilton,
aficionado.
And so the first one you talked about Hamilton, but that didn't sound familiar to me. And I feel like I would have known, you know, if he was there. I personally feel like the first one was a lie.
Holly, while the quote from Hamilton is 100% true, the story is 100% a lie.
Whoa!
So you did it. You got it right. Yes, fanny pack is coming your way to mid-Michigan. That story, Philadelphia almost caught fire in one of their 4th of July celebrations. It had nothing to do with the town square, but they almost caught fire. Hamilton did say that line. It had nothing to do with Alexandria or anything else. Way to pick out the lie. Way to win both games. Amazing. Here on Who, What, When. Holly, congratulations.
Thank you.
Easily the greatest champion we've ever had.
That's right. Holly, thank you so much. You're listening to a special 4th of July edition of Who, What, When, a history game show from South Carolina Public Radio.
Coming up after the break, we'll talk to a local history teacher, and Bram will have dramatic speeches that may or may not be historically accurate. Welcome back to a special edition of Who, What, When, South Carolina Public Radio's History Quiz Show. I'm Daniel Thompson.
And I'm Brandon Gray. Today, we're celebrating the 4th of July, the most American of all the holidays, Dan.
You know, Bran, of all the sparklers, the fireworks, the hot dogs, the grill, the baseball, you know what they're making me think of today?
Pedagogy.
Of course.
Yes.
Exactly. Thank you so much. Right out of my mouth. And in that spirit, for those of you who don't know, pedagogy is the art of teaching, how to teach.
It was one of those little things that like grows.
I got a little pet goji.
Yeah.
A little goji.
Yeah, and then you push the button and you don't want it.
Good goji.
You don't want it to die or it'll.
That's Tamagotchi. Very similar. God bless you. And in that spirit, this segment focuses on the heroes in the classroom.
Yes.
I used to be one. I said no more of being a hero. I'm out of that, but I used to teach, Brand, for about
20
years.
I taught too, but I was no hero.
and these folks who still are in the classroom every day, they're the heroes. And we have a special hero that we're going to spotlight today, a special teacher. He's on the line with us right now. His name's Thomas Riddle. Thomas, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Daniel. And Brandon, great to hear from you.
Great to hear from you as well.
Thomas, tell us about yourself.
I'm a history teacher by trade. I've been in education now 33 years. Started out as a classroom teacher where I taught everything from practical level world geography to AP US and AP Euro. I've been a football coach, a wrestling coach, a principal, and a district level curriculum coordinator for social studies as well in Greenville County. Despite my years in administration, I'm always, always, always passionate about history and always feel a call back to history classroom.
It seems like you have run the gamut here,
yes.
Thomas. What is, if you had just a little bit of advice for someone who's 25 and has the same passion for education that you clearly have and is in the classroom right now in Greenville County, what are you telling them? Like, what's the thing about teaching history that's the first thing you're telling them?
I guess the first thing I would say is relevance is what it's all about. I actually have mentored with a lot of young teachers, and when I was at Furman University as an adjunct in the education department, I taught the pre-service teachers there that, you know, there's three R's to me. You know, in education, you often have, you think of three R's, it's reading, writing, and arithmetic. but for me, it's...
I'm sorry, Thomas. I have to tell Brandon, arithmetic does not start with an R. It actually starts with an A.
It's arithmetic.
Arithmetic.
I got it.
It's like America.
Yeah,
it's
that's
arithmetic.
Exactly right.
Yes, very
Perfect.
Good.
That's it. So the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic. But for me, it's always been relationship, relevance, and rigor. And that, you know, you can have rigorous expectations for your students. They actually want to be challenged. but make whatever you're teaching relevant, especially when you're talking about history. It's not just one darn thing after another. It's actually the story of how we've come to be and what we can learn from it. But bottom line is, as you're creating, delivering rigorous content, and you're making it very relevant to them, there's no significant learning that occurs without a significant relationship. And so you want to always make sure that you are meeting the kids where they are and learning about them as individuals and not just as some student to listen to your lectures. So I would also say history doesn't have to be boring at all. History is not boring. You know, I always told my students that if you like stories, if you like movies, if you like books, if you like television shows, these are all stories, and we are wired for stories. It's in our DNA. So if you like those things, when you come to my classroom, it's essentially story time. And all we want to do is tell stories and learn from those stories about how we can improve our lives.
You said relevant movies, and I hear that you have incorporated the likes of Star Wars and Indiana Jones and other movie franchises into your curriculum and teaching. You've also been to Skywalker Ranch. I feel like we need a separate podcast just for that. But can you tell me anything more about this incorporation of these big movie franchises?
You know, George Lucas is a master storyteller, and he understands the importance of teaching with story. And I grew up loving Star Wars films and Indiana Jones, of course, too. And so when young Indiana Jones series first broadcast in 1992, I was my second year in the classroom. And as an Indy fan and as a history teacher, I learned that George had created these stories to specifically teach history to high school students and to serve as a great jumping off point for discussion and research into those topics. And so I would record those on VHS, and that's a whole other thing. People don't know what a VHS is anymore. I would show those back in my classroom, and the kids loved it, you know, and I call it Forrest Gump with a bullwhip. It was the fictional character involved in real events, seeing real people, and we make connection over stories. And so that's all we're doing when we're studying the ancient past as well, and these people that may not seem like they have anything to do with us, you know, we soon find out through their stories that their hopes and fears and desires are just like ours. And so to teach them the basics of mythology, I use Star Wars as an example. And then we compare, you know, we do comparisons between the rise and fall of Nazi Germany with the rise and fall of the Empire and the parallels between the American West and the world of Star Wars. And there's so many historical influences that Lucas had. It's easy to make those connections.
We're talking to Thomas Riddle as a part of the Teacher Spotlight here on Who, What, When. Dan, you have a game ready for us. What do you got?
Here on Who, What, When, Thomas, we like to play some history games, which is why you would be perfect. And considering your background in history and Hollywood, we got a little game called Hollywood or History. The rules of this game are very, very simple. Bran has been working on his voiceover chops.
La, la, la.
He hopes to one day be the guy that does all the movie previews. In a world. He hopes to be that guy one day.
In a world!
You're getting there. It's a little high, but we'll get there. I have curated quotes, and they're all about Independence Day because that's what we're talking about today. And he's going to read those quotes to you. After every quote, you're going to have to answer whether or not that quote is from history, actual quote someone said about patriotism or independence, or it's from Hollywood, a quote from a movie, and that just is complete fiction. Are you ready to play, Thomas?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
All right, Hollywood or history? First quote, Bran, go ahead.
The legions of our enemies thicken on our plains. Desolation and death mark their bloody career, while the mangled corpses of our countrymen seem to cry out to us as a voice from heaven.
All right, Thomas, is that Hollywood or history?
Wow. A lot of films around the fourth, but I do not recognize that. But it sounds very Hollywood.
Final answer?
I'm going to say history.
You are correct, Thomas. It is history. I tried to stump you there out of the gate. That is Sons of Liberty founder Samuel Adams in 1776 convincing the public that war is something that is already happening and needs to continue happening.
Great beer maker.
He was a great beer maker. That's Boston for beer. Samuel Adams is known for his, you know, very, very, like, visceral dialogue. Yeah. And so that was what I thought I might get you with. But you got me there. Let's move on to two. Quote two, Hollywood or history?
We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're gonna live on. We're gonna survive.
I'm going to tell you what. That's a good one there from Independence Day with Bill Fuller.
Hey, bonus points if you finish it. Bonus points if you finish
it. We're going to survive. What's the next line?
Oh, God. You got me there. I can't remember.
Today we celebrate our Independence Day.
The best documentary.
Yeah, you got that one. This is
big because he's two.
He's two for two.
This next one, he could seal the deal.
Is that how it works?
I don't know.
That was part of the deal. We are playing History or Hollywood with our teacher spotlight, Thomas Riddle, here on Who, What, When. Let's keep moving forward. Thomas, tell me if this next quote is history or Hollywood.
We are faced with the very gravest of challenges. Through all the chaos that is our history, through all the wrongs and the discord, through all the pain and suffering, through all of our times, there is one thing that has nourished our souls and elevated our species above its origins, and that is our courage.
All right, a lot to take in there. Thomas, is it history or Hollywood?
Wow, if that's Hollywood, that's some great script writing, but I'm going to go with history.
You're going to go with history, but that is actually from the Academy Award-winning film Armageddon.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I know, right?
Let me tell you what, the origins of the species, that was not something that I would think would be historically accurate. And I'm thinking, that was afterwards, but dadgum, that's good.
It's from President Stanley Anderson, the President of the United States,
old Stanley.
In Armageddon, as Bruce Willis is about to go explode a meteor so it doesn't end our planet. I couldn't believe when I saw this speech. I would have said history, too. He's got two right. That's very impressive. History or Hollywood, here on Who, What, When. Brian, go for it.
From the day of this declaration, the people of North America were no longer the fragment of a distant empire, imploring justice and mercy from an inexorable master in another hemisphere. There were no longer subjects leaning upon the shattered columns of royal promises and invoking the faith of the parchment to secure their rights. They were a nation maintaining by war its own existence. A nation was born in a day.
Thomas, Hollywood or history?
Gee, let's go with Hollywood on that one.
It is history.
Wow.
This is John Adams delivering a speech on the importance of the Declaration of Independence.
Wow.
So it takes place years after the Revolution, and he's speaking, and I found this speech, and I'm like, this is something that would be in a movie. But John Adams talked like this all the time. People got tired of it.
Same.
Yeah, that's right. We got one more left here in Hollywood history. This is it for all the marbles.
And I'm getting word that if you get this one wrong, you actually have to retire. That's I didn't know the stakes were that high. I'm getting told that in my ear. Here it is, the final quote of History or Hollywood. That pile of bricks and mortar, that mess of metal, might appear to the uninstructed as only the outgrown meeting place and the shattered bell of a former time. But to those who know, they have long been identified with a great cause. They are the framework of a spiritual event.
Boy.
It's deep stuff.
Deep stuff. Thomas, is it history or Hollywood?
Man, Dan, you're killing me.
This is for your career. It's at stake.
I'm gonna guess on that one, history.
History is correct.
Yes!
That is...
He can continue!
Along with Thomas Jefferson, the other president that hated to speak ever was Calvin Coolidge. And that is Calvin Coolidge giving a speech at the Liberty Bell on the 150th anniversary.
Wow.
Of the Declaration of Independence being written. But if he was giving that speech because we were about to fight aliens, I'd be with him.
Absolutely.
I'd be with him. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm ready to murder an E.T. There's no way around it.
Thomas Riddle, congratulations. You are victorious, and you can continue to teach, which is good. This is the teacher spotlight, and so we never want to end somebody's career in this segment. So this is a job well done.
It's a big deal. And Thomas, you also have founded a company called Imagineering Education, which I think, you know, as we get older, and I've taught for 20 years, you've taught for maybe a few years longer than that, it's easy for us to no longer worry about being currently relevant. But Imagineering Education does that. What is Imagineering Education?
It's a consultancy that I started to provide resources for creating immersive spaces and experiences for teachers, for schools, for classrooms. It was really born out of a TEDx talk that I gave a number of years ago that posed the question, what if we design schools like Disney designs theme parks? The idea is that we learn better when we are emotionally engaged in something. And so how can we create these emotional, immersive experiences for our students that relies on really the same principles that the Imagineers use for design? It's basically just good design. How can we incorporate good teaching with physical spaces to encourage learning? We launched an online course that's going very well, and I have a book coming out later this year as well.
Wow. Love it. Well, Thomas, thank you for taking time out of your day to join us here on Who, What, When. Happy 4th of July to you, sir.
Well, thank you, and happy 4th of July to you as well.
Thank you. Your trophy's in the mail. And that's going to do it, Dan. Mm. Listeners, everybody, this has been a very special 4th of July edition of Who, What, When. Thanks so much to today's callers and Thomas Riddle, of course.
What a time. Our producer is A.T. Shire. Sean Birch is our executive producer, whose favorite thing to eat on July 4th, patriotic bomb popsicles.
Can't blame him. No. This show's a production of South Carolina Public Radio. It's made possible in part by listener contributions to the ETV Endowment of South Carolina.
Find more about this program, including an extended version of today's special, at southcarolinapublicradio.org/who, what, when.
I'm Brandon Gray.
And I'm Daniel Thompson. Join us again soon for more Who, What, When.
Easy squirt.